Hello and welcome to another edition of My Tunes here at manxradio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
This week's My Tunes is very much a glass half full, or a glass half full if you prefer, because generally speaking, we are on the mend and we are moving forward. Well, certainly at the time we recorded this, which was last week. So what better time than now to look forward to getting more wonderful international artists into our venues here on the Isle of Man. And somebody who's at the very heart of this and has been for a long time is Kevin Madigan. Kev, welcome to My Tunes.
Morning, Mark. How are you?
Well, I'm all right, sir, and thank you for coming on, because we are optimistic. I know it's been hell in a handcart there and back. Well, you tell me how difficult the last year or so has been.
It's been very difficult all round, not just on the Isle of Man, across the UK and right the way throughout the industry. I think we've been very, very lucky here as far as, you know, our COVID rates and things like that. But as regarding to booking shows and stuff, it's been an absolute nightmare.
It has for so many people. I've got a list. It's incredible. The artists that you have brought here to see us. From Gary Barlow, Jake Bugg, Will Young, Level 42, Peter Green. And then we've got all the comedians. Russell Brand. You've got Joe Brand, Ben Elton, Paul Merton. Oh, that was... It just goes on. I mean, where do you start with your contact book? How did it all begin?
It all began when I started at the Villa Marina, just after they refurbed it. And I went there as their marketing manager and sort of naturally fell into the booking side. I'd always been involved with bands when I was younger. My brother plays professionally, all my friends play. And I started playing, but then they just needed somebody to organise the gigs. And I'd always been passionate about music all my life, and I sort of fell into it. And the very first show that I booked in there was Natasha Bedingfield, when she was sort of right at the peak of her fame. And it sold out very quickly, and it just rolled from there.
But now you're doing it as an independent, or are you sort of seconded to the system again? How's it work?
Seconded to the system on a contract. I've been back there a couple of times, and it's not just down to me, you know, it's a great team effort all around. Very difficult to persuade people to come to the Isle of Man when they can literally nip up the road from Liverpool to Manchester and do another show. Usually, sometimes it involves a day off. The logistics of it are quite interesting as well, which is a whole separate side when, you know, you've got 26 people in a touring party and you're trying to move them around the country or from one country to another and then have them all end up here on the same day in the same venue at the same time.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk an awful lot about who's on the horizon a little later in the week, but I want to take you back to born on the Isle of Man, but went away to study. I think it's at Carlisle initially.
Yeah, I was on a course at Carlisle College of Art and Design. That course stopped and then ended up in Newcastle to finish off. That whole time sort of in Carlisle at Newcastle was a great opportunity coming for me to go and see some, you know, fantastic bands. Going back, I was sort of more into the rock side of things then, like UFO, Motorhead. So it was a great opportunity, you know, come from here and then all of a sudden into a big city and have that literally on your doorstep to go and see.
College circuit was, I don't know if it still is, big business for up-and-coming bands.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of bands. That's a very vibrant scene. I think a lot of the academies, they used to be called Academy Music Group, and they opened one. They're still around. I think they're all called O2 now. And they put them in, you know, strategically placed in heavily populated areas with students. And, you know, it's a great way to find new bands because they have two venues in the one, a smaller venue where up-and-comers can play, and then you've got them up to 5,000 capacity where you'll get established artists who use it as the main touring route throughout the UK.
So what was the aim of the art and design course for you? What were you hoping to go and do?
I was involved in print. It was designed for print. Which I still am now. I actually worked in this building. We had a company called Dot Shop, which was downstairs in the Manx Radio building with a girl called Ruth Hughes.
Ah.
So we're here for a few years. Yeah.
Well, there you go. What goes around?
End up back here.
Comes back here. Let's have your first track of the week. What's it going to be, Kev?
First track is going to be a Morrissey track, Every Day Is Like Sunday. It was a bit of a dream come true, really. I've always been a Smiths fan, massive Johnny Marr fan for his guitar playing, and I had the opportunity to secure a date on Morrissey's tour and bring him to the Isle of Man and spend the best part of 3 days with him, which was character building.
I was going to say, come on, what was he like?
He's all right, actually. He's a really nice bloke. I ended up driving around for a few days and having some chats with him and his band, all very nice people, and still keep in touch with a couple of them. And recently, during this last lockdown, I added another guitar to my collection from Boz Borer, who's Morrissey's co-writer and guitar player. I think the wife knows about that one.
smuggled in during the darkness. Here he is, Morrissey. It is time to look forward. There you go. Once again, glass is firmly half full here on Mark Tiley in the Morning with my MyTunes guest, who has brought us so many amazing artists over the years to the Isle of Man, Kevin Madigan, promoter, impresario. I love that word. Do you mind being called an impresario?
I don't mind at all. I don't think it probably fits me, but
I think you are. You mentioned Morrissey coming over and spending time with them. Is it sometimes difficult when you're a huge personal fan as well as a professional, you know, booker, to meet these people?
It is. It's very difficult. People have their perceptions of people when they're on stage, and they all, you know, like we all do, we all have a public facing front. So, you know, when people see these people on TV, they follow them for years, listen to their music, but you get to see the person behind that as well. And usually, you know, they're really nice.
I think one thing that's helped most of us, just as concert goers, to get to know a bit more about the artist is the social media and the guys and women that use it really, really well and build towards arriving in your town or your island, and that sort of conversation that goes on. Now, I don't know who's behind it all, but it does seem to work.
I think it works exceptionally well. It's great. It's a bit like a show, isn't it? When you start the show, you walk in, the anticipation's there, and the lights go down, and then it just builds the whole atmosphere up, and then before you know it, bang, you know, the band is on stage in front of you. And it's the same with the whole build-up. If you're a fan of that band, you'll follow every part of it right the way up until that night when you actually go to the gig, and they walk on stage, and then it goes so quickly after that.
I mean, it used to be you'd read a review in NME or Sounds or whatever, or Melody Maker, and then you'd try and find out a bit more. But 9 times out of 10, you if you didn't really know the band and you hadn't heard a lot of them, you were going in cold.
Yeah, it's. I think with social media and the internet in general, the invention of it, people are more accessible, an artist more accessible. Obviously, a lot of that's filtered out because, you know, you'll hear what they want you to hear.
Yeah.
If they're promoting a new album or anything like that. We've seen over the past 20 years or more, you know, some people in this industry will live their whole lives in on the front page of the papers, on social media and that. And then you go to the other extreme with somebody like Prince, one of the world's finest musicians. When he was around, great songs, and people didn't really know that much about him. What you think in a digital age for now, there would have been more out there, but obviously kept it very low key. Just let his music do the talking, really, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, only the other day I was playing something from Prince on the radio, and you just start looking through the catalogue, because obviously you can see everything you've got. Unbelievable amount of output, incredible tunes.
Not just for himself either.
No.
You know, for other artists, it's a bit comparable to the Bee Gees and things like that. You know, the amount of songs that are there for other people. And, you know, they've all been hits where you get a prolific writers like that. You know, just one or two of those songs would make a whole person's career. And a lot of people say, you know, when we have bands on, wherever, it must be a nightmare when you're at that stage of your career to pick an actual set list that you can put into 90 minutes, 2 hours. It's more about what you leave out than what you're putting in.
Definitely. And probably, I don't know, the band might just bring something in to keep them fresh.
Yeah. It's strange, actually, when you see a really established band and, you know, at the end they'll throw a cover in.
Yeah.
Or something, which purely just because it's a favourite tune of theirs. Or
they like to play it. They just like to play it.
The Feeling are a good example of that. You know, they seem to finish all their shows with Video Killed the Radio Star.
Brilliant.
And it just finishes the night perfect. The crowd are on a high and out they go with a smile on their face.
Michael McDonald, for me, one of the finest voices in rock ever. And you've chosen the song from him. And you did get to see him in Manchester.
I did get to see him after a long, long time of wanting to. It was probably the best Christmas present I've ever had. My wife got me a ticket in Manchester, and we went along to see him. He's up there. My two favourite male vocalists of all time, Michael McDonald, Peter Gabriel, and there's just something magic about their voices.
And then, both totally distinctive. You don't hear a second or two of either, and you know it's them.
Yeah, it couldn't be anybody else, could it?
No. Let's have this track. Which one have you chosen?
I've chosen Michael McDonald's track is I Keep Forgetting.
I keep forgetting.
I said to you, the Zootons, Scouting for Girls, Will Young, Level 42, Status Quo, Peter Green, Tony Hadley, Heaven 17, Dara O'Brien, Alan Carr, Joe Brand, Ben Elton, and I said, what's the common thread? You say, I've no idea, Mark. Well, I'll tell you. It's my guest on My Tunes all this week. Kevin Madigan has brought us, well, so many incredible artists over a long time, and there's no stopping this man yet. Welcome back to My Tunes.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Now, look, I've got the list, and it's not even a full list. It is unbelievable. Has there ever been anyone that said, I can't do it, and you really wanted them to come?
It takes a lot of chasing. Yeah. Some shows, you know, like Gary Barlow, that took 2 years to actually nail that down, put the whole thing together. Yeah, I can't think of anybody really. There's some that I wouldn't chase because I don't...
No, obviously. But let's talk about Gary Barlow, because he transformed the Villa Marina into something we've never seen it look like that. I don't think we've ever heard it sound like that. It was a transformation that took place in there.
It was. Literally everything, lights, sound system, was totally stripped out, and they turned up with five trucks.
Yeah.
Basically, it was Take That's touring rig. We couldn't fit all that in the Villa Marina, but they put all their sound system and lights in so the people of the Iron Man could get exactly what the UK venues were getting as their show. Before that, there was two or three trips where we had various parts of their tech crew came over, took measurements, photographs of the building, and worked out the whole plot and off the whole place to do it, even down to how were we going to fit these trucks and coaches in to the actual grounds of the Villa Marina park up, because there was 52 personnel on that tour.
Whoa.
So to fit all that and accommodate those people, and just to top it all off, it was TT Fortnite as well.
Yeah.
So accommodation is at a premium. But
what an achievement. I mean, what an achievement. I'm sorry, dear listener, if you didn't get to the show, I can only apologise. I did. I got my ticket early, and it was just sensational. And A is an amazing artist, but as you say, the whole rig was phenomenal.
It was. It literally transformed the whole venue.
And you go from that through all the other people you've mentioned, and loads we haven't even touched on yet. But I want to just look over that horizon, because you said right at the beginning, it's been unbelievably difficult this year. Seriously, you couldn't bring anybody over. We're just starting to get a taste of where we might go, all being well. How's the confidence meter on your radar? How's it looking?
It's looking very good at the moment. We'll see how this week goes with the borders sort of being open to the 2x2, as they're calling it, for the both jabs coming in. So we're fairly confident. Maybe by August, we'll have end of July, beginning of August, some of those shows won't have to move.
And in a sense, it's not just down to us, is it? Because the restrictions on the UK side of things, if they had to go back and isolate in the middle of a tour, well, that knocks it on the head.
It does. And I think there's a few tours sort of succumbed to that. And that's why a lot of people were looking and still looking at 2022 and beyond. You know, bands these days, it's not like where we started out, four mates, form a band. You know, a lot of the use different musicians from different backgrounds on the tour, from different countries. So all these people, you know, go back home after their tour, and then they all have to come back together again. So you could have guitarists living, you know, parts of Europe, anywhere in the world, really, you know, and then get them all back together, get them on the road, get the crew, everybody fully vaccinated, and off they go into around the UK is quite a feat and quite
big,
difficult at the
big,
moment.
Big decisions. Today's track, please. What are we going to have?
My track I've chosen for today is a track called Fanny Be Tender, which is maybe not one of the best-known Bee Gees songs, but I seen an interview with the Bee Gees a few years ago, and I think it was their mother's birthday, and she said this was her favourite track that they'd ever written, and it is my favourite track they've ever written. And then with the Iron Man connection, which we don't bang on about enough. It's like if you go to the new Waterfront Museum in Liverpool, you go upstairs in there, and nearly every band that's ever come out of Liverpool is mentioned in there in some shape or form, whether it just be from a drum skin to a guitar string or to a concert ticket. You know, they really shout about it. And we've got one of the biggest bands in the world when they were at the height of their fame. Still got Barry around. probably one of the world's best singer-songwriters, and we just say nothing about it.
We should do more. Absolutely.
I'm sure there's a space in the Manx Museum or Manx National Heritage buildings that surely if it was just a few or a mention even would be nice.
Yeah. Let's have the track. Once again, it's called...
Fanny Be Tender.
Best seems like you don't want the love of this man at all. And it's sure been a time right up to the time I met you. So if you take a ride like mine,
guest on My Tunes all this week is Kevin Kev Madigan, responsible for bringing over some amazing acts to the Isle of Man, as well as comedians and dance troupes. Have you got a dance troupe up your sleeve?
Dance troupes?
I don't think. Have you?
No, I don't think think off the top of my head. No.
Well, I'll throw that at you. We'll have a dance troupe next. But there's all sorts of plans coming up. But before we go and finish off the week looking ahead, I just want to ask, in the rock and roll world, whether it be Spinal Tap or whether it be anything else. There's so many legendary stories about demanding artists wanting bowls of blue M&Ms, or can I have the toffees only half chewed? Or have you ever had ridiculous requests made on you from bands coming over here?
No, not really. Not that ridiculous. Things that have... it's quite funny, actually, with band tour riders. Over the years, we've seen them change, where there used to be a lot of alcohol and stuff like that on them. There's very little alcohol on any band's tour riders now. And there used to be a lot of socks.
Socks?
Socks, yeah. Standard rider used to be for a band is 6 pairs of white sport socks each.
Each?
Yeah.
I think what were they doing with them?
I think it's just when they're on the road. I think a lot of the tour buses now have washing machines and tumble dryers in. And a few years ago, they didn't. So if you want a fresh pair of socks to get to the next gig, or you're on the road for the next 30, 40 days, you always had a clean pair of socks.
So socks. Alcohol has gone down. What else has come into the mix in these riders?
Water, basically.
Really?
Lots and lots of water.
That's amazing. That really does show how things have changed.
Yeah, I think people now, which may show you, I don't know, the state of the music, there's a lot of young bands around who are, you know, quite clean living, a lot more switched on. But I think a lot of the older bands, more established bands now, you know, it is all about taking care of yourself. And when you've had 20, 30 years of life on the road, you know, it's not that easy. So keep yourself in good shape.
Yeah.
And moving. And I think people realise and are more aware of their health now. Because going around a tour bus eating pizzas and burgers every day doesn't do you much good.
No, certainly not. Well, it's good to hear as well. It's good to hear. May they all live long and prosper from it. Let's have a look then at the forthcoming events. Now, the big one for me, because I'm a huge fan of Texas. This is Third Time Lucky in February. Is that right?
It is. And hopefully everything will be sorted. People will be able to travel in and out. And we'll get the band in. And the show's, you know, sold. It's been sold out for nearly 2 years now.
Yeah, we've been waiting patiently. I got the new album that came through because I bought the album to go onto the fast track for the tickets, and it's a cracking album. I love it.
It is. It's a nice album, and that track they've got out at the moment, Mr. Hayes, it's a mashup of a couple of older songs, but it
very
works
clever.
So well. Really well.
You can't stop singing Nathan Jones along to it, though. That's the only thing. That's February 22. You said we're hoping to get things going before that. So, yeah, August was mentioned in... So what are you looking at?
We're looking at James Blunt, which we've moved a few times. So hopefully that'll go ahead then. And Becky Hill, two sold-out shows. So, you know, we're nearly there with those dates now. And hopefully everything will be fine and we'll get those in, start rolling again.
With an artist, if you can get them for two nights, does that make it a little bit more effective or efficient in their time and everything?
Yeah, basically we can come in, get the venue set up in enough time, there's no rush, they do the performance that day, and the benefits are the second day, that everything's just there, ready to go.
You've got a capacity in the Villa Marina of what?
Standing is 1,626, right. Seated is 1,360.
So out of a population of 80-odd thousand, you've got to get around 3,000 people who definitely want to come to make it a two-nighter.
Yeah, you know, and it's the two-nighters aren't that easy. There's certain artists who will, you know, sell two nights quite easily. What we found over the years is comedians seem to work very well for two nights, which is great because, you know, a comedian, a lot of them are minimum setup. You may have video screen, microphone, and that's about it.
It's been a lovely week, sir. Thank you for joining us, and very best of luck and with the relaunch of All Things International coming back to our Isle of Man. And what are you going to play us out with?
I'm going to play you out with a favourite of mine, Man of the World, Fleetwood Mac. Purely, I got to do a show after I'd been ill for a while in hospital and had a year or so off. It was almost my idea to find Peter Green, what he was doing, and I knew he'd done some small shows around Europe. So when I came out of hospital, I tracked him down, found him, and said, would you like to come play a show on the Isle of Man? Which a lot of people thought, you know, you're dreaming. But he agreed, and we'd done a night in the Gaiety Theatre, which was great. We had Angle and Buttermore then, who's a good friend of mine.
God rest his soul, yeah.
Probably the best sound we've ever produced in the Gaiety Theatre, I think. We ran delays right the way up and through into the gods. Had Jerry Christian, another mate of mine, but fantastic local performer who should have made it, who's still with us, who opened, and Chris Gray. Chris taking a bit of time off at the moment. I mean, Chris had some great gigs down in London and things like that, and he opened up for Roger Daltrey here, which was a bit of a springboard, really, because one tweet on the Who's Twitter and, you know, your social stats go crazy.
Yeah, I bet. Peter Green at the Gaiety. Wow. Let's have it then. Final track. It is Fleetwood Mac.
Man of the World.
Kevin, thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Shall I tell you about my life? They say I'm a man of the world. I've flown across every tide. I've seen lots of pretty girls. I guess I've got everything.
Many thanks to my guest on this latest edition of My Tunes, Kevin Madigan. Kev, it's been brilliant. And here's to so many more wonderful international artists returning to our shores. I'm Mark Tiley. Be sure to join me whenever you can for the morning show with Shaw, 9:30 to 12, Monday to Friday.